Welcome to Light in the Land, where we illuminate the Bible within the context of the land of Israel. Each week, we uniquely dive into biblical passages using archaeology, history, geography, customs and culture of the biblical period, and the Hebraic background of Jesus, guiding you along ancient paths and into biblical towns and landscapes is Dr. John DeLancey. He serves as the founder and director of Biblical Israel Ministries and Tours, and has led over 90 Israel study trips to date, as well as participated in many archaeological digs. We pray this program connects you to the land, deepens your understanding of the Bible, and inspires your walk of faith in Christ.
The Judean Desert is an amazing place to visit in Israel. It's called the Midbar in Hebrew, and it is indeed a dry and weary land where there isn't much water. Welcome to this new episode of our podcast called Light in the Land, where we talk about the Bible through the lens of Israel's physical settings. And today, as you see behind me, is a picture, one of many perspectives of this Judean desert. And I thought I'd share a few words about this region here east of the hill country of Judah, east of Jerusalem, of course, and spend some time here and maybe making a few connections as well, of course, with the Bible. So thank you for joining us for this episode on the Judean Desert. Now, some translations in some Bibles mention the desert as a wilderness. Now, often I go with people who perhaps they have a perspective of the desert that's not quite accurate, if you will. And yet their concept of the wilderness is perhaps, if they're from Washington or Colorado, they think this is a region filled with trees, dense forests, if you will, mountains and ridges, and how easily you can get lost in the wilderness if you don't have a compass. That kind of imagery perhaps comes to mind. However, as I mentioned in our introduction, the wilderness is not at all what we think of a wilderness here in the United States. It's not a dense forest with streams and ridges and an easy possibility to get lost if you wander off the trail, maybe with elk and moose and bear as well in the wilderness. That's not at all what the wilderness is as described in the biblical text. And the wilderness, in contrast to our faulty perceptions of what it may be, is indeed what Psalm 63 mentions as a dry and weary land where there is no water. This is a region that is east of Jerusalem, and it's about 18, 20 miles in width and maybe 40, give or take. The one region of the desert, the Midbar of Judah, sort of runs into the northern Negev. So I'll say 40-ish miles long, if you will. It extends north of the Wadi Kelt that we're seeing on the screen now. And then it sort of turns into the Samaritan Desert. But it is a long region and as wide as perhaps about 20 miles, because to the east of the desert is the Judean and the hill country of Samaria. And then, of course, to the east of the desert is the Dead Sea, directly east, but also to the north, we could also say the Jordan Valley. But as David writes many of his psalms from the desert context, this is at least one verse that I wanted to share as we open this episode in talking about the desert. Here we have this passage from Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. But there is some water. In fact, this picture, as you see, probably was a picture, if I recall, that I took in the spring. The desert can get some rainfall, and down below, as perhaps you can also see sort of in the middle of the image, we'll see a few more images. But even Isaiah mentions the desert, the Midbar. Chapter 35, verse 1, the desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice in blossom. So this desert land where David writes, in fact, David actually spent time in the desert, not only in the event of King Saul pursuing him. We read that from about chapter 18 through 25 or 6 in 1 Samuel. But also when David, for instance, was betrayed by his own son Absalom, he leaves the city of David, walks up the Mount of Olives, and then directly to the east of the Mount of Olives is really the beginning of the desert. And he spends time in the desert. In fact, he even goes a little further than that. Psalm 61, verses 1 and 2 also give us a sense of the lament of David or David when he writes, "Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." I have spent some time in the desert. In fact, when I was a student in Jerusalem back for a year in the early 80s, we used to do walks from just to the east of Jerusalem all the way down to Jericho through what is called, and you see it in front of you, the Wadi Kelt, Q-E-L-T. It's just one section of the larger Judean desert. In fact, if those passages from Isaiah and the book of Psalms don't maybe trigger a proper perspective of what the desert is all about, perhaps looking in a different direction, in a different part of the desert, may even prompt us to consider the Psalm 23, for instance. We're all familiar with Psalm 23. I've listed for us the first four verses. It's a shepherd language, of course, but could it be that David wrote this within the context of at least a portion of the desert as well? The first four verses read like this: "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the paths, the right paths, for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Now, in the winter, it's tolerable to be in the desert. fact, there is water down in the lower parts of this wadi. Wadi is simply an Arabic word that means dry riverbed. So you can actually jump from one pool to another, the depth of the valley, if you will, take a trail. There are trails that go through typically west to east here as it drops down about 4,000 feet from the hill country of Judah to the west down to the area of Jericho, for instance. In fact, if you're watching this on our YouTube channel, in contrast to simply listening to this podcast, though I have, again, placed the PDF of these images on our website, take a look if that would be helpful. Just to the right of this image is Jericho, really, and it's not very far away. The distance between Jericho and Jerusalem is about 18 miles. So maybe somewhere here within the context of the desert, David is writing as the shepherd, of course, the shepherd from Bethlehem, and he's writing about taking his flock to the quiet waters. He has his rod ready to perhaps protect his sheep, his flock, and yet we read about the darkest of valleys. Well, indeed, this valley, different areas can certainly be quite intimidating. I've actually walked through the desert at night, not intentionally, but just by accident. It's a long story, maybe reserved for another time, but we really, my friend and I, got caught in the desert walking without a flashlight from Ai to Jericho, and we missed the trail. Part of the trail was closed for various reasons, and we had to backtrack through the desert at night. It really was intimidating. But the image of Isaiah chapter 40 actually also comes to mind. In fact, there is a guy who pretends to be Isaiah, not sure who he is. Wink, wink, I guess I should say. But I love reading Isaiah chapter 40 and actually playing the part of Isaiah here in the heart of the Wadi Kelt as we unfold this amazing text as Isaiah, this 8th century prophet from Jerusalem, is offering comforting words to Jerusalem. In fact, let me read the first five verses for us. "Comfort, comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, and that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the desert or the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley will be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." So that's an amazing passage here in Isaiah chapter 40, and the backdrop is indeed the Judean desert. Let's just go back to this wider perspective of Isaiah. Maybe this is where he spent some time. We do know that Jeremiah did. We read in Jeremiah 13 that Jeremiah was himself, maybe even in this same area of the desert. He was taken to take a linen belt with him and hide it within the crevice of a rock. So Isaiah, maybe himself, spent time in the desert, and this is where perhaps God spoke to him. And these words that I just read, in part, as we'll talk about in just a moment, would be also shared a little over 700 years later by a guy named John the Baptizer. So just to the east of the heart of the Wadi Kelt is, again, this deep wadi that drains all the way to Jericho. And can you believe it? Built right into the cleft of the rock, I was going to say the cleft of the cliff. Typically, this would be a very steep drop off this cliff, this rock face, but you can see built as a part of the cliff face, a monastery. This is incredible. Now, the date of this, what now is a Greek Orthodox monastery, does go back apparently to the Byzantine period. It's called St. George today. And there are a few monks, as we understand, that still live here. But from time to time, they go to a little more desolate area, a little more remote part, maybe a cave itself. And we understand that from time to time, they isolate themselves and spend time with God in caves where they actually have to be climbing up partly the cliff, and they're given food and water, of course, by a rope. But you can see the primary area of the monastery itself. And actually, this is where we obtain or access a trail that actually goes about a mile and a half out, maybe even 2 miles out towards Herodian Jericho. Incidentally, Jesus comes walking in this area himself. In fact, every Judean, Galilean, I should say, pilgrim coming from the north would come through the Judean desert and walk up through this area of the Wadi Kelt. In fact, most likely on the south side of this wadi, you can see the deep wadi to the bottom left, and again, the monastery built right into the cliff itself, but the Jericho to Jerusalem road. Think of the Good Samaritan parable from Luke 10. In that case, in that parable, there was a man going from Jerusalem to Jericho, but if you were a Galilean pilgrim, for instance, you would have turned west at Herodian Jericho and walked up through this desert, ascending over 4,000 feet, and you would have accessed a trail that in part can be still seen today, maybe not in this image, but it would have gone straight up through here. Of course, the monastery wasn't built quite yet, but it's a remarkable image, if you will, to consider that John the Baptizer spent time here. He preached in the desert of Judea. Of course, he ate locusts. He was dressed not like others, let's just say, but he was baptizing in the Jordan River just to the east of this desert. We also, in the next chapter, just read from Matthew 3, verse 1, but we also can appreciate that Jesus himself spent time here in the desert, chapter 4, verse 1. So as John the Baptizer would echo the same words that Isaiah said, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight a highway for our God. That was the role of John the Baptizer. And now here comes Jesus. He's baptized. He's set apart for ministry in the Jordan. And what happens is that he's tempted for 40 days and 40 nights in the desert. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. I'm not sure how you spend 40 days and 40 nights in the desert. That's quite impressive. God sustained him, of course. Jesus' heavenly Father, and Jesus was dependent He did not yield to temptation, of course, but he spent some time. In fact, the image now behind me is again another area of the trail that actually runs from the monastery that we just saw a moment ago, and it takes us all the way out to Jericho. So everyone in the days of Jesus walked up through this Judean desert. Mentioned, of course, in the Old Testament, mentioned in the book of Psalms. David would write some of his laments from this desert. But it's a remarkable place. And it's maybe also a symbolic place because, let's face it, many times in our spiritual walk with God, we do go through some dry seasons where we are not refreshed. And perhaps we need to be reminded that God is with us. And when we turn to Him and trust Him, we place our confidence in Him to lead us through the desert-like times of life. And they happen to all of us, don't they? And yet God walks with us through these desert-like encounters, whether that be an encounter with an estranged relationship or maybe a bout with a physical ailment or disease, cancer, maybe a heart attack, or perhaps a season in your life when it's just robbing you of the joy of your salvation, the joy of your faith. The desert can really symbolize the dry seasons of life where the joy is snuffed away from us, or we feel that we need refreshment. We need that cool stream. We need to be our thirst quenched by God's presence. And perhaps in the desert seasons of life, we don't sense His presence at all. And yet God is with us all the time. Think of the desert of the Sinai, for instance, when Moses and Aaron were leading the Israelites through the desert until they finally came to the end of their lives. Of course, Aaron dies on Mount Hor, and Moses looked into the Promised Land after these years and years of wandering through various deserts in the south. But he would look into Israel. In fact, he could actually see this Judean desert from Mount Nebo, which is in Jordan today. He would not cross, and yet Joshua would. In fact, the first city taken by Joshua and the Israelites would be, of course, Jericho. Chapter 6 of Joshua tells us this story, and this was right on the edge of really this Judean desert, just really a few miles away from this image that appears behind me. But if you are going through a desert-like encounter or experience now, don't be discouraged. Rather, be encouraged that as we look to God as that rock that is higher than all of us, as we look for those streams of refreshment that come to us in maybe surprising ways, and yet we can depend on God's refreshment, His goodness, His grace. And what a wonderful thing that does to lift up our spirits, our dried out spirits, perhaps worn out spirits, and how God's refreshment can bring a new season of life and a new perspective to us. I perhaps should have also included a picture of the waterfalls at En-Gedi, which is south of us. That's technically in the Judean desert, actually on the edge of the desert. And yet, on a hot day there, let me just say that to encounter the water pounding on you. You can almost picture it, how refreshing that is on a 100-degree day when you really need that cool water to fall on you. It just gives you a boost. It gives you a different mental perspective as well. So allow the refreshing rivers of God's grace and goodness to encourage you today as we have spent some time here in the region called the Midbar, the Judean Desert, just to the east of the hill country of Judah. Thanks for tuning in to this episode. And again, if you are watching on our YouTube channel, certainly make a comment. We certainly are humbled that you are watching us, and I hope that this was an encouraging episode to you as well. Even if you have a question about this episode or others as well, feel free to leave that comment and certainly hit that like button. It indeed does help to spread this video out to more people on this channel. So thanks again, and as we always say, until next time, Shalom.
Thank you for joining us for this program. We hope it was enlightening and inspiring. If you have questions, you can email Dr. John DeLancey at drjohn@biblicalisraeltours.com. We invite you to visit our website, biblicalisraeltours.com, where we have resources about Israel and the Bible, select images from today's program, along with links to our YouTube channel featuring on-location teaching videos from the land of Israel. Additionally, our site also has information about upcoming trips throughout Israel and other biblical lands. A tour of the Holy Land will transform the way you read and understand the Bible, as it has for thousands of others. Until next time, thanks for listening, and Shalom.